Well, good morning again. Grace and peace to those that are in Christ Jesus. We think of you at home. We know many of you are at home. And we love you and think of you, pray for you. The Lord will give quick recovery in His marvelous care, His perfect care for His people. It's a privilege to be together. We gather unto the King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going on our 22nd year as a church. 22nd year. And never before have we done what we will do today. And I'm speaking on behalf of the five elders. This happens to be my Sunday to preach in the will of God. And a month ago, we had no idea we were going to do what we're going to do today. It could be any of the other brothers here, but God has appointed this time in this place for His namesake, and so I'll try to be faithful in all ways to His word, only by His help and strength. So I'm speaking on behalf of all of us as pastors. As pastors today here, we are joining hundreds, if not thousands, of pastors across Canada and America today. And I'm going to speak on this theme in God's word, biblical sexuality. Hundreds, thousands of pastors today, particularly in Canada. This was prompted from an email from Brother John MacArthur from a few weeks back, maybe 3 weeks ago, roughly, and we've talked about this, prayed about this as elders, and we said, we will participate. We're in. For pastors in Canada, beloved, for the pastors in Canada today, their preaching today on this theme of biblical sexuality may lead to criminal charges. It's hard to believe, isn't it? I'm going to give you a quick history here in a minute. It's probably going to blow you away what's happened in these recent weeks and months. To preach out of the glorious gospel or the word of God on this theme may cause Canadian pastors to be arrested today, this week. For us in America, it may not be long before we face the same hostility or legal ramifications. Our northern friends in Canada are just slightly ahead of us, but America is on a horrible slide into darkness. And I'll share more here in a few minutes, but let's begin with the scriptures, the Word of God. The Bible stands. Genesis chapter 1. Today will be unique in all ways, even the way I will proceed today, and I'll try to be mindful of time. We're going to let the Word of God speak. Ultimately, we will come to three portions of the Bible, one in the Old Testament, two in the New. Genesis chapter 1, God's creating all things. And He gets to where He's going to create male and female. We'll pick it up in verse 26. This is God's word today and forever. After I read it, I'll pray. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Amen. May God bless His word greatly. Let's pray. Father, this is Your word. This is Your truth for Your glory and for Your renown. Here in Denton today, right here in this room, in this country, in Canada, and throughout the world, thus saith the Lord, we love You. We love Your word. We want to feast upon it. We ask You to give it to us, this theme, this topic, a battleground of the vanity of men, and yet Your word is so clear. So beautiful, so final, Lord, help today your saints. Help us, Lord, to take heed and know the day we're in. Give grace, Holy Spirit, now. Guide us, for we need you. Amen. What has happened in Canada? There's probably very few of you that realize what's been going on. I didn't have much of a clue about this myself just a few weeks ago. So I'm going to give you a quick overview. This is primarily taken from an address, a radio address, where James White had a guest, a Canadian pastor, a man of God, Dr. Joseph Boot, B-O-O-T, Boot, Dr. Boot. He's a pastor in Toronto, and he's the president of the Ezra Institute, if you're interested in looking into more of who I will be citing. But I'm drawing just this quick overview of the day we're in. Why are these Canadian pastors preaching on this today? Why would we join them? And this will be helpful. I have to start with just quickly, in the summer of this last year, summer of 2021, Bill C-6 was introduced there in their governmental process in Canada. And it was called an anti-conversion therapy bill. Yes, conversion therapy. Those are the two buzzwords, saints. I don't know how many of you have even heard them put together like that. We know what conversion is in redemptive language, because it's when God changes one from death to life, makes him a Christian. But this is about conversion therapy in a distorted way, trying to flip the terms, and I'll get into it more. This bill, C-6, proposed that they would ban in Canada any service, practice, or treatment that would counsel any minor, a child, a young person, underage, as they would say, that would counsel this person in regards to their own gender identity, their sexual orientation, or their gender expression. Bill C-6 went after those who would try to deal with any counsel to that age bracket, in effect, making it illegal for any form of conversion therapy for minors. What's the picture? A 15-year-old struggling with what is right. I'm a man. I'm a young man. How am I to carry myself? I'm going to use discretion, parents. Trust me. With children and grandchildren of my own, I'll try to use real discretion today. You'll get the picture. But if you were to counsel somebody, according to Bill C-6, that was struggling with that identity, gender expression, gender identity, what is right, what is holy, what is wrong, if you tried to lead them in a biblical way, it would be illegal. That was Bill C-6. Conversion therapy. 62 members of their Senate House, not exactly sure the specifics of which one of those groups, but 62 members voted against it because the definition for conversion therapy was vague. At least that's what Dr. Boot said. It was vague. 62 dissented, did not vote for it. Summer. But by the fall, when they reconvened, Bill C-4 came back with force. C-4. The bill came back just a few months later, and ironically, according to Dr. Boot, the actual definition of conversion therapy was still very vague, fuzzy, not clear. Not in a sense of, well, what does this mean? What would this mean for pastors, counselors, teachers, those who would work with others? But here's some key things about it. C-4, Bill C-4, proposed to outright ban any service, practice, or treatment for anyone in the area of conversion therapy. Off limits. You can't talk to anybody about that. That's according to C-4. Minor or adult? A minor adult. So today in Canada, if college students come in the room afterwards and want to visit with us about the whole confusion, the darkness that they're around, if they want to talk to us as pastors, if we're in Canada, if we talk to them today, it's illegal. Now think of this. Incredible. Stunningly, Bill C-4 passed rapidly. Whoom! Unbelievable, head-turning speed. It went through the Canadian Senate like a fascist government would ram something through, like the days of Nazi Germany or something like that, other places in the history of the world where things have happened with such aggressive advancement. And even more shocking, listen to this, it passed unanimously. Not one dissenting vote in the Canadian governmental structure, not one. It's an absolute unbelievable moment in the history of the world. There's nothing in their country or our country that ever has passed unanimously like that. Nothing of substance. Nothing. It's stunning. It's like it's a rigged deal. It's a planned event. Not even the supposed conservatives in the Canadian government took a stand. 62 in the summer voted against it. By the time we got to the fall, they all voted for it. Unbelievable. The most totalitarian bill in Canadian history had conservatives and liberals crossing the room to hug one another. Clapping went on for minutes. Celebration. Conservatives, liberals, whatever they called themselves, hugging and cheering that they had passed one of the most God-belittling, God-despising, Bible-rejecting pieces of legislature in the history of the world. It's certainly modern history. And then it went on. The bill threatens 5 years of prison for those practicing conversion therapy. Pastors today that preach, counselors that counsel people in Canada tomorrow on this topic, minor or an adult, could face 5 years in prison. Therefore, any counselor who is trying to help someone in this area is at risk, per se. This became effective January the 8th, 2022. So the pastors in Canada, 2021 was winding down. The pastors in Canada took a stand, reached out to their fellow friends and pastors in America, and they said on January 16th, the first Sunday after the bill goes into effect, from the pulpits in Canada and America and perhaps in places all over the world today, the Word of God is going to be preached on this topic. What saith the Lord on this topic? And we wholeheartedly, as the elders in this church, wholeheartedly, we join those men, courageous men today, to herald God's Word on this subject. We will not hold back. God will be exalted, His Word will be preached, and we will sing it, and we will hold to it, and we will not hold back. This is not about hatred. This is about the truths of God for the good of mankind. This is dark, it's devious, it's demonic, it's evil, it's everywhere. And Americans, my fellow Americans here, and some of you are not even really from this country, I know, it is in our land too. We better take a stand. We better speak the truth and hold the ground. A few other comments by Dr. Boot. The process of departing, he says, the process of departing from biblical truth in Canada, it's been radically happening for years, for decades. We know that. We've seen it in our country. For 50 years, or in 50 years' window of time, Dr. Boot said, 50 years ago, acts of homosexuality were criminal. You could be prosecuted. He said, in 50 years' time, counseling anybody against that behavior, that activity, is criminal. He said, in just 50 years' time. Staggering. And so now, to help somebody, to help them, as God has declared it, is considered to be criminal. As Leonard Ravenhill said, Mac had those various quotes this week. He said this quote years back, "We're living in an unprecedented day where evil is no longer evil. We've changed," or in this case, they've changed the terminology. Conversion therapy. We would read that and say, we're helping the souls of men to avoid darkness and sin and evil. They call it crimes. So Dr. Boot said this statement, C4 is a thoroughly religious bill. Now listen to that. This is what Dr. Boot said. It's thoroughly religious. It's against, categorically against, this, God's Word. That's what it's against. It's not against what men really, their ideology. It's against what God has declared. They are saying, these Canadian men and women that voted, they are saying that the Bible is a myth, and the teachings of Jesus are a myth, and they are to be discarded. Therefore, it is the whole worldview of the one true God, the God, the reigning Jehovah, the one true God that must be defended. That's why those men are preaching today. That's why we're going to preach on it. And we'll get back here to the Word of God. Let me just share a few more thoughts. These are all introductory, but I wanted you to understand the gravity, the weight of what's happening. In my lifetime, my 6 decades, I can testify to the slide, the movement towards evil. It's just been just rolling. 1960s, as a little boy, the sexual revolution with the hippies and Woodstock and free love and vileness at every level. I was late elementary school kid, and I would get glimpses, pictures, footage of Woodstock, and I had no idea how to reconcile that. 1970s, Dallas County courts, I guess, 1973, Roe versus Wade, abortion is legalized, children can be murdered in the womb, and therefore it releases a generation for more indulgence in evil. We're only in the 70s. 80s, homosexuality is becoming mainstream, the AIDS epidemic, issues going on in that lifestyle, trying to begin to normalize it. The 90s, TV and the media begin to push the gay agenda in programs and in songs and all kinds of things in the arts. 2000s, the LGBT had aggressive campaign beginning to push, normalize evil behavior. How in the world could you guys speak against that? 2000s. This is my lifetime. This is Philip's unsanctioned, unpublished list. I'm just reflecting over my six decades. The 2010s, President Obama has rainbow colors flashed across the White House. When I heard it on a breaking news, I pulled over shortly thereafter. I was driving somewhere in the Metroplex, and I got my phone out, and I texted all my grown kids, and I said, "It's one of the saddest days in your dad's life here in America. Rainbow colors on the White House. Children, you'll have to ask your parents about what these things mean. You adults know what I'm talking about. Normalizing what God calls evil." And in the 2020s, now it's conversion therapy. It's the battleground. Conversion therapy, what we would see is helping people in their life, calling it criminal. Even in the 2020 Democratic National Convention, they declared it would be, quote, "We're going to ban harmful conversion therapy practices." 2020, the Democratic National Convention. They said, "That's us. We're next. The battle is here." We need to know these things, beloved. We need to know them so that we know how to stand for truth. We have to have the right spirit. I'm not stirring up hatred. We're stirring up the defense of righteousness and the glory of God in His Word. That's enough historic context. Let's go back to what God says. The situation feels heavy, doesn't it? Sad. But dear saints, we just sang just a few minutes ago, the Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages glow with the truth eternal. Doesn't it? Yes, it does. And it goes on and says, because its author is divine. It's the living God. So today, beloved, I'm going to move fairly quickly here. I'm going to try to advance along. I know this is heavy. There's a lot here. This is not intended to be all a downer. It's about defending and standing for the glory of God's Word. Biblical sexuality is a beautiful, wonderful, God-given topic. There's nothing to be ashamed about, to preach on it, talk about it in the right way. It's fundamental to God's creation. It's men who've perverted things and twisted things. So today, three holy, timeless pillar truths on this topic. What saith the Scriptures? Pillar number one, God created male and female. God created male and female. Nothing's changed. As I'll say to Christian every now and then, check the birth certificates in the history of the world. They say male or female. It's a fundamental to humanity. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God is creating. He's creating the majesty, the heavens, the earth, the waters, the lights, sun, moon, stars. He creates the animal kingdom. He creates all this majestic handiwork as He creates it all. And then we get to verse 26. We come to the pinnacle. I think it's Calvin that said, the most marvelous expression of God's creation begins in verse 26. There's a pause. Do you ever ponder this? When you read right at the beginning, God created, and you're reading through this, and you get to verse 26, and there's this pause. And God said, God, the living God who reigns forever, reigning over all, seeing His creation. And He said, and God said, it's this pause. The Godhead, think of this, beloved. Think the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're convening, they're planning the majestic creation of man in this earth that He's created. This is all about His redemptive plan, His plan to magnify His glory and to make male and female in His image. Now, there's limitless sermons right here. We don't have time to dive into that kind of depth. I just take us back to the pillar truth. God created male and female. It's fundamental. It's about His glorious plan, His purposes to be accomplished. Wow. Can you imagine the Father, the Son, and the Spirit? He says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Does that just stun you? We've got a brand new 6-week old granddaughter. And Charity brought her by the other night before they were going to be out of town. And we're looking at her. God made her. He made her. She's female. She's a little girl. She's God's handiwork. And God continues to create, give, make children for His glory and for His total plan in humanity. And that's what we're getting at here. Let us make man. And so He does. Read back on verse 27. So God created man in His own image. And in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. You see that? It doesn't matter what translation you go to. Go back to the original Hebrew if you want to. Male and female. Male and female. He makes them distinctly male, female. He and she. He and she. Not it. There's no babies that are born that are its. 4 weeks in utero, 4 years out of the womb. They're human beings. They're either male or female. There's no its. You with me? That just goes back to even the whole movement of abortion industry for decades. It. They're not its. They're children. They're life. They're breathing. They're created in their Maker's image. They're full of the glory of God. You with me? Anybody want to open up the Canadian airwaves to those men in those political offices? You want to hear what God has to say on this? Be careful when you meddle with God's truth. Be careful. They're not its. They're male and female. They are uniquely, distinctly, biologically, physiologically, male and female. Undeniable. You don't go back through the centuries and ask doctors and people that deal with care of other human beings, is this an it? Is this a guy or a girl? What is this? They look at you. It's a male. Pretty basic. Pretty basic. And they are uniquely made this way. It's unchangeable. This is what God has decreed. This is what He does. It's according to His grand purpose. It's magnificent. I have to admit, I've read over these kinds of verses too lightly in the last 10, 20, 30 years. It's awesome what God does here. Male and female. He makes Adam and He sees that Adam is alone. And He makes Eve to be His companion. Makes female. So herein, Genesis 1, and then we get more detail in Genesis 2, but God brings about this wonderful union. He's got a plan in it. He's not figuring out as He goes. He's got a whole purpose for humanity then and today, and that He brings about this wonderful union, the male, the female, and He brings Adam and Eve together, the marriage union. This magnificent picture. This doesn't mean that every man and every woman will marry. I don't want any of you that are single to disproportionately go the wrong way. But this is fundamental to the human existence, the creation of God here. A wonderful union. And all of society, in any country, in any language, in any people, is governed by this principle. This union, this fundamental coming together of male and female to be joined in holy marriage. It's precious. It's full of God's glory. Stay with me. God joining Eve, man to woman, they become one. Wonderful. Precious. We see it weekly, monthly. We've seen some of these weddings fairly recently within extended church family, or even here in our church, seeing this coming together. This is a part of what God has through the ages. Was God pleased? Was he pleased? Is he still pleased? The end of chapter 1 says he was really pleased. It says he was very pleased. When he saw all the, and now he's talking about, he said it's good. He saw what he was creating, the sun, the moon, the stars, all the, it was good. When he gets to, after he creates man and decrees what man is to be about, he said, this is very good. How about that, Canada? How about that, National Democratic Party? How about that, UNT, others? How about that truth? What's changed? Nothing changes with God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He reigns. Male and female is about his created order. It's for his glory, and it's for this beautiful coming together. You're five elders. Between us, I hadn't run the exact math. Jeff, maybe you can help me with this. There's almost 150 years of marriage between the five of us. And we're blessed. We're blessed. This is experiential. We've been brought into this 41 years ago for me. This wonderful union. Adam and Eve, the picture of what we have today and should defend today, that this is God's way. One man with one woman. God help us. So yes, God was pleased. Verse 28, he says, and he blessed them. And God blessed them, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. If this union that God's bringing together, what is he telling them to do? God says in this union or this bond, they're to produce children. They're to procreate. It's a part of their physical reality. It's a part of what God has to populate the earth, to advance his name ultimately, and to show forth his greatness, that this sacred union of marriage would have this coming together, this joining together, and children would come forth from this. Awesome. Think of this. I think it was Calvin. I'm trying to remember which one of the men. God could have created people all over the world. He didn't have to stop at Adam and Eve. He said, I've got to take care of the West, and I've got to take care of the South, and I've got to take care of the East, and whatever. No. God decreed one couple to be joined together to start the pattern, the holy pattern of union, procreation, and the advancement of the human people, the humankind throughout the earth. Awesome. His purpose, his plan. Children would come from this. Awesome reality. It makes you probably, it should make you be thankful. Think back. God gave you to your parents. God gave you in his perfect time, in his perfect plan. If you're married, that you would, with fresh devotion in the highest level of honor to God and what it means to be married, give everything you have to have a great marriage and to preserve this union, this togetherness. So the creation of male and female, Calvin said this, that pure and lawful method of procreation remains firm throughout every generation. The man and the woman, even in the deviant ideologies that are being advanced, being presented, you can't even have procreation. Aren't y'all missing something here? And they would try to fabricate that through other evil means. But God says, this man, this woman, join together, be fruitful and multiply. Awesome. Replenish the earth. Grow, expand, take dominion. When I was in college years ago, the number one ranked man in his field, and I won't get into the detail, of the 20th century, wrote a notable book. And early in the beginning of it, it's called Design with Nature. And at the beginning, he hated Genesis 1 and 2. He hated the decrees of God about mankind and mankind replenishing and multiplying. And I was in my early 20s in college, and I read that. And I just went, I couldn't believe it. He was so bold about it. This is like 1981 or something. Yes, God has a pure and lawful way for union and for children to come forth. Pillar number two. That's what pillar one, God created. Pillar number two, what does Jesus Christ have to say about this? What does the Son of God, the second person in the Holy Trinity, he declared this timeless truth that it is fixed and permanent. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. You know, it's really insane to try to question the Lord Jesus Christ. Then or today. Or as Brother Lee likes to say, it's really stupid to do that. It's one thing for you to want to test other men, professors, theologians, and you want to question them. Don't try to question the Lord Jesus Christ. You just got yourself in bad trouble. That'd be a nice way to open our senatorial gathering at the United States gathering next time they get together, and start by saying, you realize I want to say all this to y'all? It's foolish for you to question anything the Lord Jesus Christ decreed and said. Be careful. But here we have this scene. Let's go to the text. Jesus being encountered or questioned by the Pharisees about marriage, and in this case, divorce. We've always seen the foundation, male and female joined together. Verse 3, the Pharisees came unto him, and they tempted him, and they said unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Jesus goes on and he says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. He's saying, haven't you read this? Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. No man break this. Amen. We'll stop there. The Pharisees, I guess, thought they could trip Jesus. It's not the only time we see this, but here we have this area of the preciousness, the permanence of marriage, and what about certificates of divorcement? They're going to get him, right? We're going to try. Moses had this, and the old covenant, and this. And so they come to him. This is a part of the if you want to call it, the sneakiness, the slyness, the evil of men today. They want to redefine things. What about this? I'll tell you what Jesus has to say about it. It's pretty clear. Jesus' answer shows these men, these Pharisees, these evil men, he shows them that the underlying emphasis of their question is totally wrong. They're not, you got to step back to the right starting spot. They're into some technicality. They're trying to find ways to justify divorce and putting away and remarrying and things. They're going in, and Jesus says, have you not read? Wow. They're totally wrong. The famous statement, your starting place is totally wrong. You've had people say that to you. I've had my dad say that to me through the years. Hey, wait a minute. Your starting point is totally wrong. Their starting point with Jesus is totally wrong. He's going to take them right back to Genesis 1 and remind them this is what God decreed. This is what He designed. This is what He's planned for humanity. Nothing's changed. The Lord Jesus Christ, just let it be said. People try to mamby-pamby Jesus like He goes along with anything so that you can have gay churches in Dallas or you can have LBGP places and across the other country like Jesus is all in on this stuff. It's blasphemous. Jesus Christ stands on the order of God the Father. He was right there when they created Adam. You with me? This is incredible. You see how dark and demonic this stuff is? Redefining the terms? Redefining what male and female are? Unbelievable. But it's happening. In the name of high thinking, it's happening. Jesus says to him, have you not read? I can't imagine me going to my doctor this week and trying to convince him I'm something other than male. Can you imagine? It's ludicrous, isn't it? I could tell him, I think these 60 years have been this way, but really I'm something else. He might say, I have some other people you might need to go see and talk to. Something's not right with you. You see, that's not right. It's insane. It's dark. If we, by the grace of God and the providence of God, if we meet students today here in the parking lot and they're in darkness and walking things and they ask us, we need to take them to the Scriptures, to Jesus Christ who rescues us out of that kind of dark thinking. These are not the unforgivable sins. It just shows it's dark, it's evil, it's against God. We have to speak the truth to them. And that's what Jesus did. They're starting in the wrong place. Bills C4 and C6 and all these things, they start in the wrong place. Their starting place is completely corrupt. Yes, The Democratic Party and their idea to advance or be against conversion therapy, their starting point is evil. Male and female is a given. Jesus says, have you not read? He takes them right back to Genesis 1, which we've been in. And note the three things that Jesus says. He says a ton in this text. We could keep reading it, but three major things he says here in Matthew 19. Number one, Jesus says God, the Creator, the Father, made them male and female. Haven't you read at the beginning? He made them male and female. Where's he going with this? This distinction and how they complement each other and how they're joined to each other is a fixed thing. This is a thing that God does. But you've got to reestablish male, female. This bond is about God's purpose and glory. Each were made for each other. It's His design. It represents a fundamental reality that all countries and all peoples should see and hold up. Therefore, polygamy, anything else like that, is just wrong, right? It's wrong. One man, one woman. Jesus takes him there. This is God's perfect plan. Don't meddle with what God designed. The second thing Jesus touches on, he talks about this union. What God's joined together, right? And he speaks about it. Isn't this interesting that he relates to leaving father and mother? I got to read some wonderful sections on this over the last 2 weeks. This thing of the union between a husband and wife, it's more intimate, it's more lasting than with your parents. We all get that, right? We kind of hear that. We go, yeah, okay, Philip, that makes sense. No, listen to what I'm saying. It's more intimate. It is more connected and lasting and permanent than even what you have with your parents. I'm not diminishing at all the blessing, the joy, dads, moms, of your relationship to your children. I still have my dad. It's wonderful. But it's not what I have with my wife. It's not. Because that's the way God designed it. Jesus is saying that, haven't you read, male, female? And he said, and so they leave, they cleave, they join, and they're one flesh. The implication is they're joined truly in union, spiritual, emotional, but this physical union, this coming together. There's a sexual reality to this. It's a beautiful gift of God. That's what he's getting at. That's why I've said for years, if you're going to come into these subjects on this kind of a topic, the only people who can talk about it or address it, or the only context you can talk about, is in marriage. To talk about these things of sexuality in any other forum, you're out of bounds. It's the gift of God in marriage. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a fountain to drink from. It's a beautiful thing. It's God-honoring. But it has a very defined category. Young people, let this strengthen your hearts, strengthen your mind. Think on the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate husband, the one that's over us. But don't chase lies and deceitful things. Jesus is reminding us that one man, one woman, in the beginning, God brings them together, they're joined, and they're joined in one flesh permanently. I think we've just left the question about, well, can you put away and then be married? That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He gets into other aspects of that. And number three, the thing that Jesus says is, it is sacred. Sacred. Your marriage, love, beloved, is sacred. My marriage is sacred because the glory of God, the picture, redemptive pictures of Jesus Christ with His people are all over this truth. Right? Ephesians 5 and other places in the Scriptures. The redemptive plan of God, God having a people, Jesus Christ coming to get His bride, it's all in the Bible. And therefore, when Jesus is speaking these things, He's saying it's sacred. He is reaffirming the created purpose of the Father from Genesis 1. It's holy. Marriage and malehood and female, being a female and being joined, it's a sacred thing. It should be preserved, defended, and held in honor. Jesus reaffirms with total authority what marriage or what this union is. And it's only between a man and a woman. Could never be between gender of the same. It's an oxymoron. It's a fallacy. For sake of time, I'll move on. Pillar number three. Just remember the two pillars. In the beginning, God made male and female. He made them. It was very good. He brought them together. The Lord Jesus Christ, thousands of years later, walking in the earth, the Son of God, is questioned, trying to be tripped on this very truth. He takes them right back to it. This is God's way. And number three, pillar number three, any other sexual activity is sin. This gets into the battleground that Canadians and American political men and others, counselors in this town, professors on this campus and on the other campus and at TCU and all over this country, this is where the battleground starts getting really tough. Because this is a myth. Remember what Dr. Boot said? This is a myth. No, Greek mythology, that's a myth. There's a difference. I read Greek mythology in eighth grade. It's a myth. It's a story. This is the truth, children, right here. This is God's word. Hundreds and thousands of men today are going to declare this in spite of what the Canadian government or anybody else says. We're going to preach this. We're going to preach this right here. So any other sexual activity in this theme of biblical sexuality is sin, off limits, evil, vile, transgression, not allowed. Case closed. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. I'm going to read it out of the ESV. It's a little clear on some of the terms that we can follow with him. Paul is showing us the list of sins that men are living in, they're bound in. We're not talking about in a person. Salvation, we're brought out of sin. These are not sins that can never be forgiven of. But the point is, Paul is reminding what sins they were in from their past and that we've been made new, brought into a new life in Jesus Christ. These things are evil, but now you've been made new. Such were some of you, right? Yes, all of us, guilty. But 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous, or the King James would say the ungodly, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Wait a minute. Do you not know that the unrighteous, the ungodly, meaning this is not ever acceptable before the living God, He made humanity, He defines the terms. Do not be deceived. Man, in Canadian and Canadian men, deception has taken hold. Unanimous vote? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. I'll stop there. These sins are defined in explicit terms among humanity. Not just in the baby boom movement or the 1960s revolution. In the scriptures from a few thousand years back that reference back to the beginning of all things. Beloved, right here, we see that the definition that what we have to hold to and be faithful to, this pattern, this lifestyle, is sin before the Almighty God, before the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a foundation from Genesis. We have the reaffirming of it through the Lord Jesus in Matthew 19. And so now when there's this new definitions for gender identity and sexual expression, what do we say? Never. It's out of the question. No, wait a minute, Philip. Let me say it again. What about some new thoughts and new identities relative to gender and my expression? No, it's already defined. It's totally defined. But what I think that person was born with this bent. It's already defined by God. There is no, I try something new. I reshape who I am, what I become, what do I try to enjoy. Paul is very clear here. This is the Word of God. This is given to us by the Holy Spirit. This is God's breathed Word. It's the truth. This isn't a Western thing. This isn't a thing of the East. This is a humanity thing. Doesn't matter if I'm in Taiwan a month from now. It's the truth. This rules everything. This holds the day. This rules the courts. This rules everything. This is the truth. In terms of what I mean by it rules the courts, it is the authority. It speaks. It speaks. It declares what's right and wrong. And if conversion therapy is about trying to help people to see what's right and wrong, you've got to go after this kind of stuff. There aren't any new definitions for gender identity. God is not mocked. His truth reigns supreme. Sin is sin. And Jesus Christ came to deliver us from sin and bring us into His marvelous kingdom of light and joy and holiness. And yes, marriage and all that that has. Jesus Christ gives all of that to His people. But this pattern and this lifestyle is immoral and it's evil and it's ungodly. It ain't going to change. It's not going to change. This truth, it's forever here. It's going to hold the consciences of men captive because God is right. And Paul is speaking about it with such plain terms. 2,000 years ago, he's talking about their lives ruled by sin. It's not a whole lot new today, is there? That's one thing we have to realize. I remember in architectural school, I've told you all that history class and all these things you're studying, all this history. And I remember studying about Rome, and there was sometimes in the class you just wanted to just gasp at how evil Rome became. It was evil. The Grecians were evil. Just a few glimpses at their artwork and things they did will tell you plenty. In this realm, this is what I'm getting at. In this realm of the evil behavior between men to men, women to women, all of that, it's ungodly. And Paul is speaking to that. What is this unrighteousness? He mentions three things here. He actually mentions idolatry. We're not going to really touch on that, but apparently Paul, speaking of the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, and homosexuals, idolatry, a part of the idolatry was in these things. They idolized these evil behaviors. What is this ungodliness? Sexually immoral. I'm sorry, sexually impure. And what he means by sexual immorality is any form of fornication. Primarily, what he means here is any form of relationships that are outside of marriage between unmarried men and women, any age, any place, any time. Sin, it's ungodly, it's unrighteous. Conversion therapy would tell young people what to stay away from and what to flee. It's sin before the Almighty. We're not going to hold back. We're not going to hold back. That's what God says. We're going to preach the whole counsel of God. So there is no way to justify that. Living together, trying things, experimenting with this, none of it. It's immoral. Nobody that lives in that behavior, that lifestyle, can be justified before God. It's wrong. Therefore, you would never pass laws to make it right. You with me? You cannot make something that God said evil and legalize it as though it's right, and that's what men are doing across the world. Second, adulterers. Married people who commit sin with another person. They violate the preciousness of the man and woman in that union, in that bond, and they begin to shatter that because they join themselves to somebody else. This has become so normal in America, it's just shocking to me. Shocking to me. The changing out and this and that that goes on, and did you hear about in my adult life, blows my mind. We are not talking about changing out automobile parts, changing vehicles. We're talking about the covenant love of marriage. The gift of God to bring us together and give us something precious. So adultery is never normal, right? It's never normal. Putting poison, a little bit of poison in anybody's water is never normal. It never is right. It's always going to harm. And it's always evil in God's eyes. The third thing he mentions is homosexuality, which deals with this theme of men, men, women, women, this thing of the wrong use, Romans 1, where they exchange, it says in the text in Romans 1, the spiral of men's sin down, they exchange the natural use of how a man is made and a woman is made. They exchange it and they pervert it to go after the same gender. That's what it is. It's perversion. It's wrong. I never dreamed I'd be up here having to be on this kind of a topic. This strong, I have to say these things as though it's not understood. A unanimous vote in Canada? Oh my goodness. I tell you what, the airwaves in our country and that country are going to be lit up today with the Word of God being preached. That's what it should be. Let God speak. Let God be true. That's what they need to hear. That's what our dear friends in this society around us need to hear. They need to hear this. It's unloving to endorse them going down a path of sin and debauchery. It's unloving. You wouldn't do that with them if they're about to drive their car off the road, off a bridge. You would do something to save them, much more these moral evil sins. How could we be silent? How could we legalize things? Oh God, help us. Total perversions. Romans 1. Go back and read 1 Timothy 1. It's rebellion. It's rebellion against God and His purpose for male and female and marriage and union and His glory. It's rebellion. It's sin. It's evil. God is always right. Let me wind down. Thanks for your patience. These three pillars. God created male and female. The Lord Jesus Christ affirmed it. He absolutely said it's permanent, and anything else is sin. Beloved, I want to finish with just wonderful realities. When God made Eve and brought her to Adam, and when He made that first marriage, and He gave them those commands, and when He saw His creation, keep in mind He's just made the sun, moon, stars, oceans, and everything, mountains. Yes, the animal kingdom, National Geographic, I get it. The National Geographic has always been about the glory of God. They just don't acknowledge that. But that's what it's about. Thanks for publishing more of the animal kingdom so the glory of God could be pronounced. But here, when God saw man and woman and He brought them together in that union, He said it was very good. It's very good, young people. Children, I want you to be excited about marriage one day. You boys and girls, I want you to think about marriage, if God has you to marry, I want you to have it as a high thing. I want you to leave weddings, and I want you to leave hearing the Word of God preached and go, maybe God will let me experience that too. That you'd have a high view of God because you'd have a high view of marriage. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I started at 19. That's a lot of years of marriage, and it's the love of God. It's the gift of God, y'all. It's the gift of God to us. We ought to cherish these things. People ought to hear it in us. We need to live this way. Your children need to hear you esteem and preserve and enjoy marriage for God's name's sake. And then the punctuation of all punctuations on this. This language of Scripture, this coming together, this union, is the redemptive language throughout the Bible. I nearly asked the guys, can I do a second sermon? We're bringing it to the high courts of the Almighty. He uses this language from the beginning of Genesis through Revelation on His plan for His people. He uses language of marriage. It's the greatest illustration. It's the greatest experience we have in this earth that shows us the infinitely greater union of Him with His people. Marriage is about the glory of Jesus Christ with His people. So if you attack the glory of God on malehood or being a female, male, whatever, you're attacking God's ultimate redemptive language, everything that He's about in His redemption, in His salvation, in His bringing of people out of sin to Himself. You can't lose this little battle because then you destroy everything that God has started. You can't give this one up. Man, man, woman, woman doesn't work. Trying to change from man to become a woman doesn't work. It dishonors the Creator. It's anarchy against His redemptive plan. Redemption is masculine and feminine because He saves the people. He being the great groom over the people. Think of the Old Testament. He's the great husband over His covenant people. The language of the prophets in the books of the Bible about God's jealousy, His love for His people. They go astray. God owns them. They're His. They're His. He is theirs. You attack this, you attack the fundamentals of the Godhead, the God who made it everything in His redemptive plan. You see where we're going with this? This is the ultimate. Because this institution of marriage is showing us and speaking in language about a great Savior and a great wedding, a great joining to Him. As we get to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the great husband over the church. I'll say sometimes to couples or even sometimes in our pastoral visits, I know what it's like, sisters, to be in that kind of a role in a sense that you're in because I have a great Savior who loves me. I understand what it means to be drawn and loved and helped and what He does for me. It's experiential. I'm a part of the bride of Jesus Christ and so are you. We're under Him. You see, beloved, the language of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant deals with this kinds of language, these metaphors, these pictures, so we can get it. You should leave a wedding and go out in the parking lot and say, "What a great redemptive plan you've done, because I have so much more in Jesus Christ than I'll ever have in my marriage." Piper has a few beautiful things to say on this one. At the marriage feast of the Lamb one day in the eternal kingdom, when he says, Now I'm fully wed to you as a people and you don't have to marry anymore. That was my picture to you, what we have forever. It'll blow your mind if you go read this stuff. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, God defines sexuality. It's His word and His truth through the ages. We're going to preach it. We're going to love it. We're going to obey it. We want to walk in it. God defines it. It's His gift. It cannot be perverted. We must hold it and cherish it because it's from Him. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we do thank You for this great truth that You created male and female, that You gave marriage, that You gave distinctions in that, in the proper fitting together, the perfect plan of God, giving of children and multiplying, and the things that happen in humanity that You planned, Lord, it's for Your glory. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word has that greater language for us, that we are Your bride, we are Your people. Nobody else, Lord. We don't go to anybody else. You're it. So we love You. We want to just thank You for Your word. We want to preach it with joy, Lord, with zeal and with commitment to hold fast and preach the whole counsel of God. Keep Your people. Let the young people today be helped. Let the children, Lord, be helped today. Let all of us, Lord, be re-engaged and just overwhelmed at the authority and the definitive realities of Your word. Shepherd us on. Blessed be Your name. Amen.